Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The health risks of raw milk are well known. Still, people in rural Wisconsin are more likely to prefer unpasteurized dairy products. More from Mike Mohn.
Supporters of raw milk say it is a much better flavor than pasteurized milk. But public health officials say the untreated product has been linked to illness outbreaks over the years. A public opinion survey led by the University of Pennsylvania Sean Patterson shows differing views when factoring in geographical settings about whether it's okay to consume raw milk.
People living in rural areas thought that raw milk was safer overall than people living in the suburbs or in urban environments.
Only a third of rural respondents thought raw milk was less safe to drink, versus about half of urban respondents. Meanwhile, an outbreak of bird flu in dairy cattle is highlighting the issue. Infected cows can shed the virus into their milk, sparking fear of transmission to humans. Patterson notes that mainstream scientists have found no evidence that pasteurization alters the nutritional value of milk, but myths persist that it does.
Pasteurization doesn't change the nutritional value of milk. It doesn't significantly change the taste of milk, and so the risks really don't outweigh any of the benefits.
Patterson says there has been an uptick in demand for unpasteurized milk in recent years. He says social media could be one reason, and that future research would test that hypothesis. The Food and Drug Administration prohibits the interstate sale of unpasteurized milk. States make their own rules for milk that doesn't cross state lines. This is Mike Mohn for Wisconsin News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting by Tim Marima for the Daily Yonder.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Look for mostly sunny skies on this Sunday and a fine afternoon with highs in the middle 70s. West winds just a bit gusty. Tonight mostly clear as lows drop to the lower 50s. On Monday, back to work and school with sunshine and lower 80s. Right now, it's 73.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Her hands wrapped up in mine. Tears rolling out of her eyes. No messing with a made-up mind.
Welcome, everybody, to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside my side cat. Easy for me to say. Side cat? Sidekick. The lady of leisure who works all day and heads to the field after work, Danielle Fairman. Danielle Fairman, you have become somewhat of a hunting celebrity in Wisconsin.
I
saw the way everybody acted to you at the Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo.
That was actually kind of great.
It was pretty cool.
You know what they did say? That Joel told me to come say hi to you.
Oh, well, so don't give you, away Joel my Clayfish. Secrets, Danielle. Come on.
There were a couple of people that were like, hey, you're on Raised in Wisco. I was like, oh, absolutely. They're like, your laugh is definitely contagious.
It's contagious. We
absolutely
wouldn't know what to do without it.
I rely on that laugh. Yay. It gets me through the week.
I thought it was Bandit that did that.
And Bandit.
Bandit's always welcome in the studio. Bandit is the silent, usually silent, and sometimes silent but deadly guest in the studio.
Yep. Sure is.
You don't want to be trapped in a small room with that.
No, you sure don't.
That's producer Jess. She runs this ship in here, and I'll tell you, she is like the decoys in the goose spread. We couldn't do it without her, and we'd be way off the mark.
I look forward to learning more about what that means.
That's a huge compliment, Jess. That's a good compliment.
The decoys in the goose spread are where the geese land.
We could.
Where you try to to get them to land. And we have such an awesome show today. I'm so excited about the show.
Why are you talking about geese, Joel Clayfish?
Well, we have so much to pack into today because not only is Wisconsin's goose hunting season opener going on now, it opened on Sunday, September 1st. It's the dove season opener. It's the teal season opener in exactly 11 days, 10 days. We've got the deer hunting season opener, the turkey season opener. We got more season openers than they got seasonings at Lowry's. I'm telling you. Oh, there's a dad joke right off the bat.
Oh, there we go.
I did
it. So proud. Does that mean that's it? We're done with that?
No, it does not.
That's his warm-up.
That was the appetizer.
We can expect dad jokes throughout the show, as always on Raised in Wisco. Raised in Wisco is your place to make sure you know how to enjoy the outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Danielle and I have lived here my whole life, and we make our joy part of our livelihood and our love and our passion about the great outdoors, taking food from field to table, hunting it, fishing it, kayaking, biking, running, mountain climbing out in Devil's Lake, camping. If you can do it outside, it's a subject and a topic for Raised in Wisco. If you're afraid to do it, we're going to show you and teach you how to do it because we have such a love and a passion for it. And I cannot believe, everything that happened this week. We've got Greg Brinkman here from Northwind Waterfowl. I'm going to tell you, not only one of the best waterfowl hunters in the state, but also runs his own outfitter. You can hire him to take you out on an experience in Wisconsin. We're going to hear about everything from him as to what to do to get out there, to make waterfowl a part of your life if you haven't tried it, how to get to try it. Producer Jess bought her tag last week.
Sure did.
I helped her
Woo-hoo!
After the show.
That's
producer
exciting.
Jess is a first-time hunting, Wisconsin hunting license holder. How does that feel?
You know what?
Where's the
in
applause
the week
button?
Since,
we need the applause
I
button.
Am really excited. I didn't really think I'd ever get into this, but I'm really looking forward to it.
And I hope everybody is watching on Facebook because you could see her face right now. She is cheesing.
Yeah,
so
she's
hard.
Actually excited about it. And this,
it.
I look at, okay, now I do
now
have goosebumps. Do you see my goosebumps?
Uh-huh.
I literally, hair on my arm stands up when we take somebody who is a non-hunter or who has not experienced, you know, fishing seriously or hunting seriously, and they want to give it their first try. And we had a real great discussion about what it is, that apprehension that some people feel. And as those of us who are trying to get people interested in it, it was important. And we had this discussion on Aaron, I thought it was really meaningful about the apprehensions you have. And if you're teaching someone and helping something get into it, I think a key component of that is assuring them that they do not have to pull the trigger.
Yep.
They do not have to kill something. They can be along for the ride and share the experience. Now, the fact that she just told us she's been excited since she has purchased her tag, her license, gets me even more excited about it. Yes. And I want to tell you.
And a lot of it was actually you taking that step and saying you don't have to pull the trigger.
My first few times, I was the retriever. I was the dog.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to shoot. I was not ready to shoot. I was not ready to harvest.
Yeah,
I was not ready to kill something. Harvest something, yep.
And there's no pressure in our mentored hunting program in Wisconsin. You know, I was a member of the legislature. I co-authored that piece of legislation. And that has just done wonders for the hunting public. There have been no accidents, no fatal accidents among mentored hunts in Wisconsin. And we have been, you know, blessed to have so many people try it without having to go through the hunter's safety. Jess is going to hunt on the mentored program. And I'm excited to tell you, and I have like 10 weekly Wiscos. I've got like 10, but what I want to tell you is I stopped at no fewer than 4 farms and got permissions for turkey hunting because I am excited for Danielle and Jess and me to go.
Ooh.
We're
going
to have a big blind because I might even cook breakfast in the blind. We'll see.
Ooh. I'm so in.
Breakfast
in the
turkey blind?
The absolute only way you were getting me out there.
Brinkman, come on. You've had breakfast in the goose blind, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I have food, like have 16 have recipes I want to talk about because we had breakfast after the hunts this weekend. But I'm going to I want to switch gears slightly. And Raised in Wisco is not, we get some fantastic, fascinating topics. And this topic is coming up because my mom's almost 80 years old, right? And
no,
this
not.
Woman has given her life. She spends, like, every day we record, she sits in the studio with us, like, just kind of doing her thing, you know, knitting, pulls out the knitting needles or crocheting needles, works on what she's, you know, whatever she's got going. And she has devoted her entire life to her children and other people and helping them and being a good citizen and really like an angel on earth. I'm not kidding you. That's my mom.
Yes.
The hilt.
I agree. Wholeheartedly.
Well, she shows up at our house to watch the Baylor game where my daughters go to school. She shows up at her house in a brand new Jeep Wrangler.
Oh, you did not know that was happening?
Pink in color. What?
You didn't know that was happening?
I had no idea.
You didn't say it was hot pink.
It's
hot it is pink.
Baby, it's fuchsia.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that. Ain't no confusion. It's fuchsia. Ain't no confusion.
There we are again.
There's a dad joke.
There it is.
No confusion about it.
That is pink.
That is definitely pink.
Producer Jess is counting the dad jokes in there. So
no, I'm giving you a time cue.
Oh, you're giving me a time. I thought she was saying you're up to 5 dad jokes.
That
you're
was actually, 3.
Yeah, that was
I'm
3.
I'm at 3 dad jokes. All right.
Counting those time count. 2. Don't worry.
I'm literally sweating. I'm having so much fun right now. But, you know, I'm not the skinniest guy in the world, so sweating comes a lot easier
goodness.
To me. I'm thick-blooded. But so I want to talk about... I want to talk about Jeep ducking.
Okay, yes,
about
I
what?
Do want to talk
Jeep
about Jeep ducking.
Excuse me? Do you know, hold on.
Do you not know
Producer
what Jeep
Jess,
ducking is?
Do you know what Jeep ducking is?
How do you not know?
What is this when
we're
you hunt ducks in a Jeep?
We
is
are
that
all
simple?
Staring at you right now.
Okay.
I don't know what this is.
I explained this to my friend Ian Kittrell. We were on our way home from a hunt on the weekend, and I saw a Jeep with ducks. Jeep owners... particularly Jeep Wrangler owners, collect ducks, little rubber ducks.
Oh,
miniature rubber ducks.
Rubber ducks that are all over the... Yeah,
the dashboard. They're on inside of the dashboard.
And I've had a lot of questions
duck
about
oh,
it.
Oh, have I got Jeep? Your answers.
Okay.
I think I have your answers, but most of them are made up. So
Okay.
So
that's the best kind.
When I see... Jeep ducks in Jeeps. I'm
man.
Right. You don't have to be an owner to give one, don't
no,
you? You just looked it up.
I got things
hold
to
on.
Say.
Hold on. Let's keep this on track.
Holding.
I'm raised in Wisco. Let's keep this on track. So when I first started seeing these
what
miniature
track?
Rubber ducks, I told Ian about this. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he called me today. He's like, I can't. I'm so angry with you. You told me about this Jeep ducking stuff. Now that's all I can think of whenever I see a Jeep. How many ducks do they have? So... allegedly, this is a friendly game that
Jeep
owners play with each other, wherein they leave a duck on the handle of a Jeep as a kindness gesture, you know, to the Jeep owner. And what I've noticed is there are some Jeeps with zero ducks.
Well, some Jeepers don't like them.
Some Jeepers don't have any ducks. Are they anti-Jeep? Jeep ducking?
Are they being spurned?
Okay, so,
are they being ostracized?
Well, that's my other question. Or did he just have nobody nice enough to give them a duck?
No one this like is them? The thing. My bestie Annie has a Jeep Wrangler. It is her pride and joy, also my pride and joy. And she has 2 ducks on hers. That's it. 2 ducks. One of them.
So 2 people have left ducks.
No, only people leave ducks. She just puts them away.
Why only 2?
Because she only wants to.
Is she not proud of having more ducks in her Jeep?
She just is not a rubber ducky, you're the one kind of person.
Oh, my God. Okay, so.
But
so
how did this all start?
I don't. Allegedly, there was a woman who started it. I'm going to kind of get to my point real quick because.
There was a point here?
Well, there is a point. This is so fascinating to me. My wife went on Amazon and bought me a bag of 50 miniature rubber ducks.
Are they all the same or is it a variety pack?
And it's a variety pack.
Okay, good.
And I see people with 1 duck and I think, don't they have a lot of friends? Are they depressed? Are they bummed out because they haven't been Jeep ducked?
I wouldn't want all the ducks on my
Because
dashboard.
Some Jeeps have got 100 ducks. Well, yeah. I went and I saw a Jeep with no ducks.
You give them
so duckies. I took a duck and I wrote a note. I said,
"Oh, you wrote a
I
note?
Said on the note, I don't know if you're anti-Jeep ducking.
Oh my goodness.
Or if no one has been kind enough to give you a duck yet. So if
Please
you don't want to participate
everywhere.
In the Jeep ducking culture, and
Throw
if those fellow Jeep owners haven't been kind enough to you, please accept this as your first duck. If you are anti-Jeep ducking, please pay this forward." And
Aww.
I left it on. See, that's how I thought of it. And my wife looked at me like I was crazy. She's like,
no,
what are you doing?
That's a really considerate
So if
gesture.
You listen to this show and you got a Jeep with the note, in fact, we can make this show a place you can listen to, and I'm going to tell you how I put the ducks on Jeeps every week.
Dun, dun,
and
dun.
If you
every
get it
week.
That way, you will know who left the duck.
Dun, dun, dun.
How about
dun,
that?
Dun. You can. Anyone can duck a Jeep. Yes, anyone can duck.
Aha!
It's all about spreading
you
kindness.
You said you had to be a Jeep owner.
Foot in
We
mouth.
Got so much
Understood.
Fun stuff. We got several recipes today. Opening of goose season, duck season. Greg Brinkman from Northwind Waterfowl. I can't believe how fun it's going to be.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Plus from dawn to dusk in the red dirt heat, busting it up for a couple of bucks, but it ain't no thing, just another
Raised in Wisco is your place to learn about the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. Joel Clayfish in the hot seat next to me, the co-pilot, the riding shotgun. Do you know why they say riding shotgun, Danielle
Fairman?
Because
back in the day, they put the shotgun.
Yes, back in the day on the stagecoach.
Yep.
Did you know this, Jess?
I think so.
On the stagecoach, they had a guy next to the stagecoach driver with a shotgun in his hand in case the banditos came up and were trying to rob the place.
My puppy dog.
Smart. In case Bandit, the dog, came up and tried to attack.
He tried to take all your
the passengers in the Jeep. In the Jeep? What am I doing?
Oh, man.
Out of my mind.
Take all your
we
ducks.
We talked so much about Jeep ducking. Give me all your ducks.
Okay, your weekly Wisco. So this is your weekly Wisco?
Well, okay, my weekly Wisco. We're dragging weekly Wisco
we are.
Into the...
I got a cool weekly Wisco.
I have a great one. Opening of goose season.
Yes,
which it's
I have
like,
questions.
I can't sleep. I can't eat before it. I'm
All
so excited
goose.
About it.
I
mean,
ate before it.
I... Okay, you ate before... Danielle... What's your weekly Wisco?
Okay, we'll save that part for later on in the show.
Nope, let's hear it. Because Danielle's got a story about something like blank through a goose.
Oh, man. So I...
Greg Brinkman from Northwind Waterfowl is here. And he is going to... We're going to actually get to some real strategies for goose hunting. But before that...
So I was up in Crandon for the Crandon World Cup races, which is whole awesome. My weekly Wisco. That was the greatest time I've ever had for a dirt race, because that's the only dirt race I've ever been.
And it's cars, it's bikes.
So it's side by sides, it's trucks. But there is this huge off road course up in Crandon. It was the 55th World Championship races and the 9th Red Bull Crandon World Cup.
How fun.
It was such a great time.
People don't realize when the roar of those engines hits you and you're in the thick of it.
The mud
and the mud's
goes everywhere.
Flying.
The vehicles get wrecked. Oh, it was the coolest thing ever. So Crandon, quick thing. Crandon is a 1,200 population, correct? During just this tiny little week, 60,000 people.
Wow.
60,000.
That's incredible.
I didn't realize it was that big.
Yeah, they did.
That's
like,
entire Waukesha.
It was almost 65. They put the numbers up on the board and everything, but I don't really remember. Because
city of Waukesha or Wausau, I mean, that's huge.
There's a lot of alcohol being served that weekend.
I'd imagine.
It is Wisconsin, yeah. Danielle.
Okay, but on the way back, so that was during the goose opener, right?
Yes.
I did miss the morning of because it was Crandon. I was really, really, really hungover. But then we left a day early, and we're driving back, and I got to go with a couple of people that I never hunted with before. And I'm driving back, and we stop at this mom and pop gas station, and they ate some food. Well, this was a few hours before we get out there, and I get really excited. We're set up, and I start getting the bubble guts.
What? Okay, what did you eat?
Oh, no. Was this from all the booze?
I don't think it did not feel like
all
booze.
Right.
It felt like food poisoning. It was just stomach. It was not head. It was not body aches. It was just stomach. And you know when you get like
She's
that?
She's literally getting nauseated telling the story.
Like you get that taste
Somebody get
in
a
your
pail.
Mouth. You get that taste in your mouth and the water in your mouth.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Like all that. My palms are clammy right now. Well,
don't be getting sick on us.
It comes time to shoot. And
so you go hunting.
I'm go hunting and I'm just like shaking. I'm sweating.
Oh my goodness.
And shoot a goose and I goosed my other end.
Oh, no.
There it is.
No.
So I was like, I'm out.
Weekly,
bye.
No. You listen. Okay. Hey, Danielle, what was your weekly Wisco this week? Well, let me just say.
Goose hunting was really eventful this year.
We're not going to talk about this for a long time.
No,
but there isn't
man.
A hunter alive or fisher person alive or angler alive who has not been in a scenario where they have had an uncomfortable scenario
it
like that.
It was so
happen.
Bad. And everyone just laughing at it. I'm laughing at myself. And it was just, I'm out, I'm gone. And I haven't eaten in 2 days. And
wow.
It's
You still look a little peaked. I'm not going to lie.
Peaked?
Yeah, a little peaked.
That's a fun word.
A little pale, kind of. A little bit. And when you started describing it, I was afraid we were going to have to
go through it again?
Put plastic over the equipment.
Show
in
and
here.
Tell?
That's
Okay, moving on.
Nah.
Brinkman, the opening of Goose Through a Goose.
Oh, man.
I'm thinking of Blank Through a Goose, like something. The opening of Goose Hunting
Season.
Yeah,
how was yours?
How did it go for you? Greg Brinkman is the owner and CEO of Northwind Waterfowl. I'm going to just go ahead and say it. I think it's the best outfitter in the state for waterfowl hunting.
What?
I've had a chance to hunt.
Where did you go?
And you really produce, and production is a matter of real estate. Do you have good places to hunt? I think you have some fantastic places to hunt. What was your opening weekend like?
Well, it's opening weekend, you know? Everything, nothing goes as planned.
Nothing goes as planned.
Nothing
it's
goes
crazy
as planned,
everywhere.
Ever.
Do you say that just for you and your friends, or do you actually book it? Because it's like a holiday.
Opening weekend is just for me and my buddies. It's buddy hunting. We get that out of the way.
Awesome.
No, not out of the way, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're
celebrating. I'm not kidding.
It's a holiday.
For hunters, it's like a national holiday.
Yes.
It really is. I mean, the night before, the opening day. I can't sleep. We got a good field that has birds in it the day before. I can't eat at night.
Yep.
I'm up every 2 hours. I'm get to the field, you know, wake up at, I finally get out of bed at 3 o'clock, get to the field at 3:30. You know, I can't, I'm so excited about it. And I tell people, if you lose that, then, you know, find another outdoor activity, because
right.
that feeling is what drives you. And if you haven't experienced it, give it a try. And, you know, one of the things that we emphasize on Raised in Wisco, which is really important to me, is that if you haven't tried it, find somebody to give it a try. And if you don't like it and it's not for you, that's great. There's a million things to do in Wisconsin. But when you get out there, you are going to realize that experiencing these outdoors and the different things that Wisconsin has to offer, from hunting to fishing to camping, you name it, that is really the greatest way to live. And this really is the greatest state to do it in. So Brinkman, you're out there, and this, I always get a kick out of this, because opening day is like madness. It's like everybody's in every field. Competition to get the fields is everywhere.
It is.
And so
it's bad.
It's bad. It's almost bad. And then after opening weekend, so many of the people who have tags and licenses, they essentially, they'll hunt a couple times the rest of the year. But opening day, everybody's out.
I'm glad there's so many people involved in it. But I, like you said, I'm ready for that when a lot of the hunters kind of fade off or get into deer hunting or whatever it
sure,
may be.
Sure, sure. And the reason I think that they fade away is because so many other opportunities are available in Wisconsin.
Yeah, definitely.
And a lot of them have families and just do the family, like the Bass's Family Fall Fest or anything
right,
going on 100%. Like that. People just, you know.
Yep, holidays start rolling in and everything else.
Exactly.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you about, you know, your setup, some of the keys to success on opening. And I'm really excited to talk about our recipes. I want to talk about a few different things and foods we get to eat on Raised in Wisco. You can hear us Saturdays at 11 on all your civic media stations. I'm Joel Clayfish, and Danielle Fairman is here. And we got tons more.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. A fast-growing wildfire in San Bernardino County in Southern California is threatening homes, forcing people to evacuate. Joyce Gossman lives in Green Valley Lake.
I'm doing it on the safe side because I got some, you know, health problems, and I'm over 70.
A massive manhunt is underway for the gunman who opened fire on people on Interstate 75 in southeastern Kentucky yesterday. 9 cars were hit, 5 people shot. Deputy Laurel County Sheriff's Deputy Gilbert Acharto.
We located an AR-15. It's going to be processed, and it is in a wooded area next to the interstate.
As we get closer to the first Harris-Trump debate, new polls show the vice president has momentum. CBS News Deputy Director of Surveys Jennifer DePinto.
In Wisconsin, Kamala Harris has a 2-point edge over Donald Trump. In Michigan, she is up by just 1 point. And in Pennsylvania, Harris and Trump are tied.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Jordan Love will miss the next few weeks. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Near the end of the Packers' loss on Friday to the Philadelphia Eagles, Green Bay's quarterback suffered a leg injury. Today, it was revealed that Love suffered a sprained MCL. It's expected that Love will miss 3 to 6 weeks. Head coach Matt LaFleur said Friday night he didn't know the extent of the injury, but said the Packers have work to do.
There's a lot to clean up. It was definitely a sloppy game, I think, from us. I think there was, you know, some uncharacteristic things that we did.
The Packers will take on the Indianapolis Colts a week from today. Wisconsin football used two early scores to get ahead by 14 points at the break and held on for a 27-13 victory over South Dakota yesterday. The Badgers play Alabama this Saturday. After losing four of their last five games, the Brewers took down the Rockies 5-2 on Saturday. The same two teams play again today to wrap up a three-game series. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Kuska with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Look for mostly sunny skies on this Sunday and a fine afternoon with highs in the middle 70s. West winds just a bit gusty. Tonight mostly clear as lows drop to the lower 50s. On Monday, back to work and school with sunshine and lower 80s. Right now, it's 73.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
The first highly anticipated debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump is Tuesday night, September 10th.
Listen here as the presidential candidates address issues important to you.
It's not sustainable. It's not affordable by any country.
I know what we are fighting for. We're not fighting against something. We're fighting for.
Special coverage with detailed insights starts at 7:30 p.m.
Then listen to the ABC presidential debate live at 8, Tuesday, September 10th on your local Civic Media radio station.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country, focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wisconsin, I'm Joel Clayfish, the first Maid of Mystery. Danielle Fairman is sitting alongside me.
Maid of Mystery.
I don't know. I'm going to make stuff up from now on.
I like it.
Producer Jess is in the control room. Why do you have a disco ball going in there?
Do I?
No.
Huh?
Come on, go along. Play along. Play along. Jess.
Do I? Where? I was really convinced there was something here that I couldn't see. It's been a weird day.
It's
this is awesome.
Producer Jess bought her first ever hunting license, and I'm so excited about it. And we are literally 11 days from being able to use it, and we're gonna get you out in the field. I've already got the place set up. I've got the landowner ready.
Awesome.
For us. We're gonna get out there and try to hunt some turkeys, and I think we're gonna do all right. I'm excited about it. Danielle Fairman had a little misfortune going on.
Oh, we're bringing this back up.
We're not going to really go back in detail.
You brought up that in the past, but I guess not.
Greg Brinkman, who runs Northwind Waterfowl, you take people out.
Have you experienced
hunting.
That for somebody? Sorry to cut you off, Joel.
Everybody.
Everyone has
like
been
when you take
in a situation
out.
Like that or something similar.
Yes.
Okay, what they're talking about, to be clear, to be very clear, is when you're out hunting or fishing or kayaking, and you have to, you need a restroom, and there is not a restroom. And you have to go back to your roots, which is why there are torn pieces of my former clothing buried in four different states.
That's the greatest show ever.
I love that you're keeping track of the states.
Well,
I feel like you need to make a, you need, you know,
I'm pretty sure it's other countries, to be honest with you.
You know those quarter maps that you used to have?
Yeah.
You should have a piece of cloth instead of a quarter.
A piece of cloth instead of a quarter. And every, the good news is I've usually got a pocket knife so I can cut some off. And
this is the greatest thing ever. So, Jess, when you go out, just make sure you have wipes.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
My mom is in the next room just shaking her head back and forth. She's cool for me now. She's got a new Jeep with ducks in it.
A hot pink Jeep.
A hot pink Jeep.
Okay, so what were you going to say before I cut you off?
So everybody has experienced it. It's okay. It's all right. It's all part of nature, right? It's natural. Greg Brinkman, what's the difference?
Oh, man.
What is the difference hunting opening day versus the middle of the season versus the end of the season? How do you, as an outfitter, aim for success?
Well, opening day is, man, it's like we were saying before, everyone's doing it. There's limited amount of fields cut. You're pretty much limited to wheat, sweet corn, maybe some silage starting to go down, and, you know, grass or hay or something like that. Later in the season, you got beans, corn, a lot more options, generally a lot more birds. And you just got more options later in the season. So you got to change up your tactics, stuff like that.
How do you feel about private land? What is that called? Where they donate their land for
the PRC land or land possibly. Where an owner has an agreement to allow hunters to use his property for certain tax breaks. Is that what you're talking
cause
about?
Yeah, because on Onyx, I was looking on there trying to find some fields of my own, and I kept seeing a lot more. They're black squares with red dots in it. That's how you can find it on Onyx.
Sure.
But do you...
I have never even seen that. For those of you listening
who don't know what it is, Onyx is an app that you purchase that explains who owns the land that you're looking at, so you may ask the correct person for permission to hunt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing to have.
Yeah.
It was a game changer in hunting. I'll show it on camera as well, but see these...
Yeah. You just zoom in, but there's these black areas, black boxes with the red dots. So if you select it, that is actually private land owned by this person and everything. It's Wisconsin Voluntary Public Access.
Right. Huh. That means you can hunt it.
But, okay, what is your feeling on actually going there and not asking, hey, I know this is public, but are you still, like, I feel like I have to go up there and ask because I know it is private land.
I like to go overboard because I like all the lines to be clear as to where I'm hunting.
Yep.
And if it is land that is shared land for public use, I will still go talk to the owner of the property because if it is public land and they're getting the tax benefits of it, they're going to tell you you may hunt it.
Mm-hmm.
They can't tell you you can't, right? And developing relationships, everybody thinks hunting is walking in the woods and sitting in a tree or walking in a field and setting up decoys. Hunting is relationships more than anything with farmers, with landowners, with fellow hunters who you want to make sure have similar ethics to you, with wardens, with those who enforce the laws on local municipalities. Hunting is relationships. So again, my answer to that is always create the relationship.
Because if it's just a voluntary program, they can still take it away. Because I know last year I hunted a piece of property that was private but was public, but this year it's not. So maybe if you develop that relationship, they would be like,
you still can hunt it then.
You were still pretty cool. But
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Someone said you were cool.
I could see like some issues with that when they got like, you know, they got their crops in there, obviously, and, you know, not everyone understands farming, you know, in general with, you know, not destroying crops and something simple like that. But I could see how it could upset a landowner and stuff, too, like how it could go sideways in a way.
No question. You know, and here on Raised in Wisco, I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Danielle Fairman. Our job is, and we get kind of into the weeds on some of the issues about hunting and fishing, but we want you to be able to listen to this show and not only understand some of the nuances that it takes to get out there and hunt. And there are so many regulations that you do have to understand those nuances. We also want to talk about the umbrella, the 30,000 foot level, if you are brand new to it, so you're not afraid to get into it. And we have a perfect example with producer Jess, who's going to come out and hunt with us. And, you know, I think the introduction area, make it slow and easy. But we want you to feel at home in listening to Raised in Wisco. When we talk about those nuances, to let you know, you don't have to necessarily participate or understand those key minute differences at the beginning. That is why it is so important, and it's an obligation of the people who live in Wisconsin who want to share this heritage, who want to share the outdoors, to take people who haven't gone, because it takes years to learn how to do it and how to do it specifically by the book. And you need somebody to mentor you and to take you out the first time. It's very hard to go do it. I'm not going to lie. It's very hard to go do it yourself. This show is about giving you a smattering of an understanding as to how to get started.
Yep.
It's also about taking that veteran hunter, veteran angler, and helping them understand some of the nuances of how to do it. So stick with us. Share your feedback with us. You can listen to us on all the civic media stations throughout Wisconsin every Saturday at 11 a.m. Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. We are going to take you on the ride through Wisconsin and show you how you can help to drive the bus with us. And don't be afraid to reach out to the show. We love talking about listeners' comments. We get approached by folks in the public all the time saying, heard you on Raised in Wisco, really love that recipe. Heard you and Danielle laughed my tail end off about the story you talked about where, you know, Danielle couldn't find a bathroom while she was in the field.
And it's back.
We hear about that all the time. Hey, love to hear that your mom's got more than one duck in her Jeep, you know. And don't be afraid to reach out to the show and ask us what you're interested in learning about, because I was going to ask producer Jess earlier, how many topics do we talk about that you've literally never heard of before?
I'd say a good like 75% of what you start 75. Talking about. I have no idea. And most of the time I'm just working on, yep, yep, that level's good. Okay, that sounds good. And I don't have time to be like, what are you guys saying?
Yes. Yep. But I will say, I'm going to pose this to you because I bet you that it's true. I bet you, if someone had said, here's a topic, does that sound interesting to you, before you listen to the show, your answer would have been no. But I'll bet you when you listen to these topics, because I can see it in your face through the glass window, you say to yourself, wow, that's actually interesting and I never knew about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good read.
Yeah.
That's a good read.
And that is what our goal is on Raised in Wisco. Danielle Fairman and I want to make you comfortable with the outdoors. We love the fact that you're listening to us. We love the fact that our audience is growing, and we love the fact that you approach us while we're out there. Greg Brinkman from Northwind Waterfowl, he's an expert. He knows the details of goose hunting and duck hunting in Wisconsin. And did you know that in the state of Wisconsin, we harvest more Canada geese per capita than any other state in the country?
Baloney, seriously?
In the country.
I did not know that. More
Isn't
than Minnesota.
That crazy? Yes.
Wow.
More per capita than any other state in the country, because we are surrounded by the Great Lakes, the mighty Mississippi, and more inland bodies of water than Minnesota. They got it on their license plate, but we've actually got more. And the Mississippi Flyway is literally its own flyway, and it borders the entire state.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so you are at it hard enough. And I hunted for quite a while before I ever harvested anything.
Okay, because I kind of did it, learned on my own. I went with a couple people a couple times. I didn't harvest much early on. And the more you learn, the more you learn that hunting is about relationships. Mm-hmm. But the nuances and the keys to actually becoming a successful hunter are very expansive. So that's what's fascinating to me, to have somebody on like Greg Brinkman from Northwind Waterfowl. How do you, this is not an easy profession, bro.
No, it's not for the faint of heart.
When somebody says, I'm going to pay you money to take me hunting, they expect results.
Yeah, and they should, you know, but in the end of the day, it's hunting. But, you know, I can do everything that I possibly can to get you on a good hunt. You know, can I control the weather? No. Can I control the birds? No, but I can do everything I can to fool them and trick them into decoying and getting you, you know.
When did you start Northwind?
The actual Northwind company, it started out as, you know, me just making videos, doing the YouTube thing. I started that back in 2015, I believe. And I just recently started the guide service and going through with that.
How can someone get a hold of you if they'd like to try their first hand at waterfowl?
You can get a hold of me on Facebook, or I have a website, northwindwaterfowl.com. All the info is on there to get a hold of me. Email or phone, text, call.
You have to be booked up for quite some time right now, aren't you?
September is a little spotty. I got some in there, but October, November, that's pretty booked up right
now. Yeah, I believe that.
So I'm excited because the Fowl Life is coming into town in November, and we're going to be hunting with Greg.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh,
hey, Danielle, we need to get you out on a hunt.
Okay.
Come on.
We need to get you out there. I mean, that way.
I mean, my tummy's feeling a little bit better, so.
Well, that way Chad Belding can have someone else to tease but me then. He can tease you as well.
Never. Angel face.
And I'm going to tell you, I have a sneaking suspicion that once we get producer Jess out to the turkey blind,
hooked.
That if we have turkeys come out in front of us, whether she decides to shoot one or not, I think she's going to have the bug as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And we might end up getting her in the goose blind at some point also, I think.
So for
once you get in the goose blind, you might not go back to other stuff.
Oh, I don't know. I love turkey hunting too. But yes, that goose blind, when they're coming in, and the thing about geese, people say, what are you? I say, I'm a waterfowl hunter, but I'm really a goose hunter.
Yeah.
When those geese are lined up and they're bent over like this and they're floating right into you, if your heart's not beating, then you better check your pulse because you're not alive. And there's no better way to be alive than in the goose blind. And, you know, when it comes to eating afterward, that is what is so exciting to me. I can't wait to tell you guys about the recipes that we've been cooking. And what really was great, got done with the hunt yesterday, went back to clean the geese, and my wife had prepared the geese that we
got
the day before. I didn't even have to take the helm. I'm like the cook in the family, but she made this unbelievable recipe. I can't wait for you to hear it on Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend
extend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I have a little dirt on my boots, but I'm taking you uptown tonight. Right off them tonight.
Yeah,
sing it, Danielle.
I love
this
song.
Is Raised in Wisco. That's Danielle Fairman on the mic. I'm Joel Clayfish. A little bit of karaoke there. Now, what would have happened if it would have been
karaoke.
Just you? Okay, now, I don't believe that.
What? Why?
I don't, because you were just singing into a microphone to thousands of more people than would ever hear you at karaoke.
Well, exactly. There's only four people here and my dog. So,
well, that's about the average people in a bar during karaoke. Four people and your dog.
I don't know. There's something much easier about this mic. I also I've never done karaoke, but I'll sing into this mic.
If there's karaoke going on at the bar,
I'm a karaoke fool.
I am
a karaoke fool.
All right, well,
fool.
Turkey hunting first. Then we'll hit the karaoke bar.
We got time. Everybody's going to have to tune in next week to Raised in Wisco on your Civic Media stations, 11 o'clock on Saturdays, or listen to us
I
on the podcast.
I wonder if we just do a whole
Facebook
cooking segment.
And we could
the whole recipe segment.
I was gonna say, hey, listen, welcome to Raised in Wisco, the coolest cooking show in Wisconsin. But I say to people, every show really is a cooking show because the one thing, Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals, moderates, independents, socialists all agree on.
Everyone loves food.
Is food.
Yep.
Everyone
loves food. You know what? And I am the probably biggest, literally and figuratively, example
big
of that. My mom taught me how to cook food. And I have to tell you, my wife, we got married. Now, here's a weird thing. Husbands and wives, you know, if the wife's really into hunting, when they start dating, they kind of precurse that to their significant other. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm really into hunting. I just want to let you know that's an important part of my life before they get married. Husbands will say that to wives. My wife and I were married. I was a late bloomer. I started hunting when I was 38. We had been married for 10 years before I started hunting. And my wife has embraced it. She's embraced it. She knows it's important. She loves the wild game. All we eat in our home is wild game for meat. That's it. It's organic. She had colon cancer at age 35. We eat only organic meat. We've got deer, alligator, goose, duck in the freezer. We've got emu, ibex, you name it. We've got it in the freezer, wild game. And it doesn't, you can make it so tasty now. And I want to tell you, I had the recipe that I used. She made a tarragon garlic cream sauce over roasted, pulled, shredded wild goose.
What?
And served it on toast. And I said, honey, you know what that's called in Wisconsin? She said, if you say SH blank blank on a shingle, I'm going to be so angry because I put too much work into this for you to call it stuff on a shingle. And I said, well, that's what they call it at truck stops and stuff. She said, this is not blank on a shingle. I said, okay, I'm going to go with shredded goose with a tarragon garlic cream sauce. How
absolutely
does that sound?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
On a shingle.
She said, that's
on
a shingle. On a shingle. I'll tell you what, I might end up single if I called it blank on a shingle.
Yeah,
dad joke number five. Ladies and gentlemen.
Bravo,
appearing
bravo.
Saturdays at 11 on Raised in Wisco. Your dad joke central.
So
you
want to
take,
know. Oh, go
ahead.
Oh, no,
what do you want to know? How to make it?
Yes.
It's so yes. easy. You take, so I've done the recipe here before. You take your goose breasts or duck breasts, you fill them with water, add a packet of Italian dressing seasoning, a cup of oil, a cup of lemon juice, and put it in the crock pot for 10 hours. When it falls apart, shreds, mix it in with the stock that's created in there, and that's your base for just about anything. Now, here's the easiest cream sauce you will ever make, and it's unbelievable delicious. You take a package of Philadelphia cream cheese.
Okay.
And you tear it into little parts and put it in a skillet.
Yep.
A warm skillet, not too hot. And you stir it until it melts, and you add to that one stick of butter. Ooh. So it's all equal parts. So you're adding a cup of cream cheese, a cup of butter, and a cup of cream. And then you add a cup of, add a cup of stock, or you can add a cup of, what's the stuff they make gravy out of? You know, you buy it in the chicken broth.
Broth.
Yeah. You can use the stock you made from your goose, but so it's one cup. And it's that easy. And you just melt it together and you simmer it until it gets to the right thickness. Then you're just going to add whatever seasoning you want to. What if you like, you know, Lowry's, if you want to use provider spices, if you want to go, you know, whatever you like, you add to it. If you want to make it a little hot, add cayenne to it.
Brett seasoning?
Yeah, it's good.
Addicted.
I love it. I love it. And then you add your shredded meat to it and you serve it on toast or Kaiser rolls or something. I'm going to tell you, it is to die for. I had a guy say, great recipe. I can't eat goose. It's disgusting. He thought this was the most delicious thing he ever had.
Of course.
Would you try that, producer Jess?
With Joel, turkey. You need to stop offering things and then not bringing me things.
You're right.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to yell at by all the female here. You should
yelling.
I mean, I was expecting something sort of food here tonight. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh my
Joel
goodness.
Asks me in every episode, hey, producer Jess, would you eat this not delicious cool. thing that I just described when you've been at work for hours and you're really hungry?
That's not fair.
What is your favorite recipe?
Your favorite recipe, Greg Brinkman from Northwind Waterfowl?
Favorite recipe in general?
For wild game or waterfowl or wild game?
To be honest, man, I like just plain old duck, you know, obviously seasoned, medium rare,
just a
bed of pasta,
like butter and onions.
I mean, not gonna lie,
my buddy always says butter and onions.
When I'm butchering the deer, right off the back, put it on that grill, the cast iron with some,
I love it
with garlic and butter.
That's it.
I don't want no taters. I want no nothing.
Please do not tune in to Raised in Wisco for your grammar lessons. That's all I'm going to say. I ain't going to do that and don't want no taters. Wow. That hurt my soul.
It's because we're all hungry, Joel.
I'm hungry, too. I'm always hungry. Food is my favorite dish. That's why when you listen to Raised in Wisco, you're not only going to learn how to utilize the great outdoors, you're going to hear some of the greatest recipes that are simple. What, Danielle?
Going back to the Waterfall Expo, people said that our recipes at the Women's Zone were comparable to yours.
Wow. That is like an insult and a compliment all at once.
I high-fived them so hard. I was like, yes, I cannot wait
Your
to tell
recipes
him.
At the Waterfall Expo were phenomenal. Oh, you did a Mitchell Kahn style taco. It was out of this world.
We delivered them to
It was
you.
Unbelievable. We had sous vide goose in a sherry cream sauce.
Yeah.
We handed out 30 pounds of it. It was phenomenal. Folks, we appreciate you listening. We love you to be here. Send us your comments. Listen to Raised in Wisco on your civic media stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Saturdays at 11. For Danielle Fairman, I'm Joel Clayfish. This is Raised in Wisco.
Bye.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.